In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. It's a very familiar story about Jairus and his daughter being healed today. And in the middle of this story is the healing of the woman with an issue of blood 12 years. And as it usually happens with me, when I start to read something in the scriptures, there's something that just jumps out at me. And sometimes I just can't really get it out of my head. I keep rereading it, and I keep thinking about it. And what jumped out at me today, or yesterday actually, and I talked about it a little bit, and I'll talk about it a little bit more today, perhaps in a little bit different way, is Jesus said, "Who touched me?" There was this crowd of people. And everybody's thronging about him, and obviously he's getting jostled by people, and a lot of people are touching him, probably mostly inadvertently. And a woman comes, who's unclean by Jewish law, shouldn't be even around other people, shouldn't be touching other people according to the letter of the law. She could get in trouble for that. She kind of stealthily goes and just touches the border of his garment. Probably something that you and I might not even feel. And the Lord said, "Who touched me?" And of course we know what happened. What her desire was to be cleansed of her 12 years of bleeding, making her unclean so she could never go in the synagogue, and also so people looked at her sort of with a hairy eyeball. Nobody liked her because of that. People thought she was judged by God. All she wanted to do was be clean, be cleansed. And she thought, all I need to do is touch the border of his garment. She didn't need to go and ask him. She didn't need to go and make any kind of production out of it. Just do it secretly, and he would heal her. And indeed he did, but he didn't let it be secret. Why didn't he let it be a secret? Well, obviously to expose her faith, both to Jairus, who was weak in faith, and to us, who are also weak in faith. So he says to the woman, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." So what is this faith? What is the faith of this woman that has made her whole? In Jewish eyes, she was an unclean person. In that kind of society, she was almost a non-person. But for God, he said she had faith that made her whole. So let's look at her faith a little bit. But let's look at it in the context of our faith. Because it doesn't do you any good to know something about somebody, to know anything about anything, if it doesn't make an improvement in your life. If it doesn't change your life, then it's useless to know it. It's just a factoid. So what is it about her faith that we can learn from? I guess I'll skip ahead to what I was going to say more at the end. I've said a lot of these things before, and perhaps they bore you. I don't know. I hope it doesn't, because the whole point of our life is to be with God, is to touch God, and for him to touch us, for us to feel his touch. Most of the time we don't feel it. For us to be in God, for us to be united with God, to be completely changed and perfected. It's the whole reason why we're alive, why we're created. So when you come to the liturgy, especially, but really all the services, it happens for me sometimes in a daily Vespers or in a Maleven that I serve by myself because for various reasons people couldn't come. You should come to meet God, to touch God. Do you come to touch him today? Is that your reason for being here? Did you come to touch his garment? Did you come to partake of his blood? And whether or not you're going to commune today, or if you're allowed to commune today, or if you can commune today, did you come to touch him? Do you know what his touch gives? It gives healing. Is there anything in you that needs healing? I hope you know. What about those thoughts that you can't stop, that you should? What about anger and lust and listlessness and depression? What about sadness? What about regrets? Is there anything in you that needs healing? Can anybody heal you? Do you believe it? The woman believed she could be healed. She had a hopeless disease. One that kept her completely shut off from all of society. But she believed that she could touch him and be healed. So what are you doing here today? Are you coming here to touch Jesus today? That's what you must do if the liturgy is to have its proper effect on you. Because God reveals himself to us in the liturgy. Now, there's a lot of distractions, obviously. There's children sometimes that are crying, and there's this and that, and there's other things happening. And that's just part of being human. But what's happening in a spiritual sense is God is reaching out to touch you. Are you reaching back? Or are you distracted? Are you thinking about what you got to do tomorrow? Or about how you're distracted by this thing or that thing? Did you come to touch Jesus? That should be the whole reason why you come here. That's why I come. But you must come also to touch him for your healing. You got to know something's wrong with you. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I've noticed that a lot of times people don't know something's wrong with them. There's a lot wrong with us. Every single one of you in this room, myself, first of all, there's a lot wrong. I don't like the wrong stuff. Do you? Don't you want to be rid of it? Don't you want to be free? Completely free? That's what I want, above everything. That's what Christianity offers. That's what Orthodox Christianity offers. Other beliefs, when I came to them, they didn't offer that freedom. But Orthodoxy does. Because in the center of our faith is the communion of the Holy Mysteries. And the participation in that process. Even if you don't commune, you can touch Jesus more than anybody else today. If you come with expectation, with desire, with just this longing in your hearts to be touched and to touch. And then, indeed, God will touch you. Changes will happen. This is how you must think of the Divine Liturgy in all of the services. Sometimes some of you tell me things like, you know, you're doing these canons or this or that. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I think all you need to do is take your prayer rope and pray with all of your heart as best you can. Not because it's fulfilling some sort of rule. Not because there's any kind of quid pro quo, you know, where you do something, God does something. But because you want to be in God's presence. You want to touch him. You need his touch. I hope that when you come to liturgy every time, you have this deep desire to be touched by God. To be in his presence. We announce it at the beginning. About half of you don't hear that announcement. Blessed is the kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. We're in the kingdom of God now. We should see God. We should see the angels. Perhaps some of you do. Perhaps the children do. That's what we're born for. Do you have a longing in your heart? Is there a little bit of pain in your heart today? There's always pain in my heart when I come to liturgy. Always. Because what I should be experiencing completely in my knowledge. I'm not talking about knowledge of books. I'm not talking about with my brain. I'm talking about really experiencing the knowledge of God. What I should be experiencing, I'm not. Because I don't see God in the angels. They're right here. But we're supposed to. That's the normal way of life. That is being truly human, is to see these things, to experience God, to be touched by God. So this is why you should come to liturgy. Now, if your prayer is sort of flat and you get bored and the liturgy seems too long and you go to vigil, but oh my gosh, that's just too doggone long. You're going to have to just leave after Vespers because it's just too much. Then why is that happening to you? Because you're really not entering into the prayer in the proper frame of mind. All prayer, doesn't matter what you're doing, should be to be in the presence of God. Doesn't matter if you say three canons and a nakathist, or if you say the Jesus prayer, or if you just say, God, help me with what happened today. I don't know what to do. It should be to be in the presence of God and to be touched by God. It should be all you care about. And if you cultivate that desire, then vigil won't seem so long. I have a secret for some of you that might not have ever experienced this. The best part of vigil is right at the end. Somehow you've been kind of worked over for 2 hours or so, and finally something gets through, like this ray of light, and touches you, and it's worth the waiting for. It's the same thing in prayer that we do at home. A lot of our prayer is just difficult. We're tired, a little bit sort of not really fully believing. We're going through our exercises. But there's moments when God touches us. That's why I read the gospel, by the way. Because when I read the gospel, when I read the Psalter, especially those two things, there's times when I just feel touched. I hope you have those feelings too. I hope you crave those feelings above all else and desire those things above all else. When I was earlier in my ministry, and now this is my 21st year, when I was earlier in my ministry, I had these feelings, but I really was expressing them more in terms of trying to get people to understand doctrinal things and things like that. But now I know that my goal, my role for you, is to just get you hungry for the touch of God, to desire it above else, all else. It doesn't matter if you got sins, if you got all kinds of problems in your life, if it's hectic. All that God can solve, God can fix. But He won't fix a heart that is not burning for Him. He won't fix that heart. So what you need to do is cultivate that desire. This woman had it. That was the faith the Lord was talking about. He wasn't saying, well, you know, she knows that I'm the Son of God, and therefore, you know, she knows that she can get her healing from me, as if it's some sort of fact. And you other people around me, you don't recognize me yet as Son of God, but look at her faith. She understands. That's not what he was saying. Her faith was one of great devotion, great desire. I recently told you this story, but some of you haven't heard it. So I'll tell you one of my favorite stories from the Scriptures that epitomizes this kind of desire that makes you feel the touch of God. No matter what your sins, your weaknesses, your life situation, it doesn't matter. If you have this desire, God, it's going to happen. This is a story about Elisha and the woman. What's the Shunammite woman, I think, if I say it correctly. He had gone back and forth various times, and she had had him come into their house and teach them, and he would stay. He had an upper room to stay there with them. And he said, what do you want? And his servant Gehazi said, she doesn't have a son. So he promised her a son, and she was sort of like Sarah, like, no, don't do that. Don't kid with me now. But a year later, a son was born. And then 10 years later, the son was out in the fields with his father, and his head began to ache, and he was going to die. So they bring back the son to the mother, and the mother sits with the son with his head on her lap until he dies. And what does she do? All she wants is her son to live. Nothing else. So what does she do? She says, saddle the ass. I'm going to go see the holy man. The father's saying, it's not the right time. There's sort of a schedule when you do these things. No, I'm going. And so she's coming. And Elisha sees that she's coming from far away. So he sends Gehazi out to say, go check with her to see if things are okay with her. And he greets her, and she won't say anything to him except peace. Because she wants her son to be raised.
It's all she cared about.
So she goes, tells Elisha. Elisha comes back, and the son is raised. Why was the son raised? Because this woman had the same faith as this woman we're talking about. The widow had the same faith as the woman with the issue of blood 12 years. She desired something deeply, something important. She wouldn't give up. So she went to touch. And the Lord, through Elisha, granted the son to rise. And the Lord, through his own touch, granted the woman to be clean. That's the kind of prayer you have to have. That's the kind of touching that you must do. It doesn't have to be articulate. It doesn't have to be a certain number of canons, a certain number of akathists. It has to be with your heart, reaching out to God, saying to everybody else, peace, get out of my way. All I want to do is be in God's presence. That is touching God. That's the kind of faith that I want you to have. It's the kind of faith I'm trying to learn to have. Everything else is unimportant. Only God can save. So you have to come to church desiring to touch his garment and even to partake of his body and blood so that you would be cured, you'd be healed, so that those things in you, that dead son in you, would rise. That issue of blood in you, the impurity in you, would be cleaned and would be stanched. That's it. That's our life. Come to God to be touched by him. So I hope that you remember these words a little bit. I hope that when you come to liturgy now, that you'll come with that expectation. I hope that when you come to vigil, you come with that expectation. And God will touch you. Now, it's not going to happen all at once. You're going to have good days and bad days. But God is touching you. If you desire to be in his presence, he will be there. That's it. That's everything you need to know about salvation. Come to God to be touched. Be like that woman going out to Elisha so that her son would be raised. God will raise all of your sons, the dead sons in you, if you want to be touched. God help you. God help us.